So this is a second discussion on the how to port. Well, I guess the discussion is on whether we should and how to port Gridcoin into a token. If you want to listen to the why, listen to the previous recording, which I will say with certainty will be uploaded at least at the same time as this one. I think unless Jim, Levy, anyone else here want us to talk more about the why, we can start talking more about the how. And I think Weber posted a really good breakdown on GitHub, which I have shared the link to in the chat, that can maybe inform some of the way we talk about this. But before we get into that post, does anyone want to talk more about the why?
I mean, I think we covered it. Jim, what do you think?
I don't think we need to talk much more about the why. I think we went over the reasons on why we're discussing this. I think I don't believe there's enough spent in that Weber proposal addressing what I think. And, you know, Levy, I sent you a note that obviously you responded to in PM, but I think that at the end of the day, we have to be exceedingly careful in what we're trying to do, that we don't genericize Gridcoin's identity as a result of this, right? This has to, I'll put it this way, this thing has the aura of effectively bleeding away what makes Gridcoin unique and turning it into a generic compute for a compute contract platform, which I'm not so sure that's really what Gridcoin is about at the end of the day.
Oh, it's absolutely not.
I think we've got to be very careful about that, right? And there is it's enough to fact that we're basically giving out on our own coin and relegating ourselves to a token status. I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Rubs me the wrong way, quite frankly. I'll just put it this way. I feel like we have to do this because we don't really have another choice. But if I had any other choice, I would not choose this path. I'll just put it like that. That's number one, right? And I think a lot of folks in the community, if you would poll them, probably feel the exact same way. And you know, one of the things I think that's not really addressed that came out on one of the Reddit threads, which I agree with 100%, is that one of the big aspects about Gridcoin is the fact that we have a whitelisting process, right? We don't sanction just any old compute. There's a reason why we whitelist projects. There's a reason why projects aren't whitelisted. And that is that, you know, while there may be disagreements among members of the community in general, the community's done a very, very good job about picking projects that actually have value for science or math. And that is built deep into the DNA of this community, right? I made some allusion to this before. This is not a Gollum thing. This is not a, you know, any arbitrary person wants to pose a compute contract and get somebody to compute arbitrary work units for anybody, right? That's not what Gridcoin has been about. And I'm a little worried that that's, if we're not careful, that's the direction we're going to end up going. And I'm not sure we're going to have the community behind us if we do that.
So, I don't think we're going to do that. I think it's a reasonable fear. And the ultimate question is like, what is Gridcoin? Right? And a lot of it ties back to some fundamentals for cryptocurrency that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with. If you go find my YouTube channel, I feel like such a dweeb saying that. But if you go listen to the very early Firesides, that is all we talk about. Those are the foundational concepts of what Gridcoin is. It has to do with currency generation and distribution. And yes, the whitelist, all those things. And I think, I'm not technically capable enough to say this with certainty, but I'm pretty sure we're not losing anything with regards to, let's call it feature set and or process, by switching to a token. The things we lose are the control over the base layer. And the reality of the world we live in now is that several base layers have established themselves as very likely the base layers that will persist for the next 50 to 100 years. And if you go back to those early videos, early recordings, Bitcoin was one of them back there. Ethereum, I did not think would be one of them. I still have my doubts, but it seems to be establishing itself pretty positive, pretty strongly. And you will also, just to make sure everyone understands where I'm coming from, in those episodes, you'll hear me rail against switching away from a blockchain and going to a token. I very much agree that it hurts, but there's practicality in doing it, and we don't need a blockchain to do what Gridcoin is meant to do, which is incentivize science with a base layer currency generation event.
I agree. I think that this comes down to, quite frankly, and Levy, you can speak to this, when we talk about how we're going to implement your protocol, I believe that for Gridcoin to put its name on this as a community, even if it's separate from the, you know, it's a separate from the DAO, if we're going to set up the DAO and sort of endorse this, I think there are going to have to be ground rules around what that protocol does and how it works that stick pretty closely true to the original purpose of Gridcoin and how Gridcoin operates. There can be some changes, but I don't want to see this go in the direction of the community sort of endorses this and then it turns out that it's a free-for-all for computing, right? Because that's not where we're
at. It won't do that. I
hear you, but that needs to be actually put in writing and it needs to be in the governance documents and signed off on.
So it can't be that. Let me rephrase that. First of all, it's really cool because Gridcoin is a DAO. We have been a DAO since the voting mechanism was implemented. Right. That's all a DAO is. The part to what you're speaking of, if we pour everything that Gridcoin is right now into a token, we can't become Golem, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just become a pay for compute marketplace because we're going to continue generating tokens and distributing them based on magnitude, just like we do right now. What we can do is add a pay for compute layer on top of that, the benefactor contracts, the marketplace factor on top of that, the mag boosting, the staking tokens behind it, a project to boost its mag, all those things we've talked about, we can now add on top of it, but we're not in no way getting rid of that base layer of currency generation. And because we're not getting rid of currency generation, there's no way we can become a pure pay for commute marketplace. Because in order to do that currency generation, we need the white
process. We're going to have to state that as an immutable thing, number one, to make sure that it actually happens. Number two, we have to, the benefactor paper that my son and I wrote is another layer on top of Gridcoin, but it's not a free compute. Free compute is not the right word. It's not a free for all compute layer. You know, the benefactor contracts were designed to operate on top of, there's still a whitelisting project to get to allow a benefactor contract to be constructed, right? So you can't just create a brand new project that's the figment of their imagination, create a benefactor contract and basically turn it into a golem-like construct. So that we also have to be very clear on how that additional layer is going to work to make sure that it's in line with the community's conception of what we do.
Right. Agreed. Very much agreed. We're on the absolute same page there. And the interesting thing to me right now is that what we're talking about is completely separate from what Levy is doing. What we're talking about is the economic, the protocol, like mechanisms and how the protocol works.
Essentially, Levy deals with the mechanics of this, right? We're talking about something that's a construct.
Well, what, above what Levy would be building is a place for us to put our whitelisted Boink projects into a marketplace. So a benefactor can come in and easily do it. But the fact that we have that whitelist is completely separate from what Levy's building. So there's two different stages here, it sounds like. One is we need to, as you're saying, like write down and very clearly describe how the economics of Gridcoin work, which we've done for the most part, but we now need to bring it into tokens and make sure that everything we build in that token is true to what Gridcoin is, as we've just described over the past 10 minutes. And then the second stage is to integrate that with Levy's platform, which I think we could probably get funding support for from some projects in the space. And then this also speaks to a lot of questions that Weber wrote down, like how does the token generation event happen? How does funding get developed? All those things.
Yep. Because if we do this, we're effectively doing what we originally talked about, it, including the vision of the benefactor contracts. All we're really doing then is just changing out the base layer, which I'm supportive of, even though I don't like it.
We spoke about this yesterday. We might not need to get rid of the blockchain entirely. There might be some interesting stuff we can do where they run parallel and we can hedge some risk there.
Yep. I'd like to do that if we can, but I also think that this is a very nuanced point of view. I don't like us having to like give up on our blockchain or run in parallel, but I think practically speaking, we need to do it. We just need to make sure that as we go into this new world, we stick to our vision, right, and change the base layer out because it's necessary to do so. I mean, that's where we're at. I'll reemphasize what we said on the last fireside. We really don't have a choice. I mean, there's no reasonable path forward using the C++ platform. It's too hard. It would require a year's worth of work by four or five people to do this in the existing Gridcoin code, just because it's just a lot of work. I mean, it's huge, and you get so much lift out of the Go programming language and the EVM contracting environment that we would get it done, and then other areas of this space would have already leapfrogged us by the time we did it, and so we'd be forever in a catch-up mode, even having spent all that time and energy. And so I think you know, just looking at it, we really don't have a choice. Levy, I don't know if you have anything else to say on your own.
A few things. So one of them is, I completely agree with the quandary of what is Gridcoin. Is it, because it's more than one thing, right? At the end of the day, it's a blockchain and a currency and a protocol and an idea and a community and probably other stuff. And it's impossible to do a shift like this without substantially altering some of those things, right? So I think our concerns are completely well founded. I'll say that on my end, I've said this before, but I'll just repeat it. The kind of core thing that I want to do with this protocol is to enable anybody to build on top of this. So for example, this is supposed to be a multi-token platform that with no fees, right? So anybody can bring along their own token, use it however they want, and without any fees at all, right? So really no restrictions, no token lock-in, no fees. It's like a genuine public good. That's what I want out of the protocol. And again, for those who didn't hear before, the from a business perspective, what we're trying to do is to incubate projects on top of this, right? And that does not, in my mind, that doesn't conflict at all with any of what Gridcoin aims to do. or what, you know, John and Jim, that you thought, that you two were just describing. Gridcoin, I want the Gridcoin community to have complete, have whatever currency, have its own currency, to be clear, and then vote on however that currency is created and distributed in the way it's always done. I also want anybody else to be able to do the same. That is kind of like the core of what I have been of what I've been basically trying to get at with the whole kind of big picture of what I've been saying. So as long as that is maintained, then I'll be happy, right? I'm trying to bring as many people into using this protocol as possible. Right? The more people we have, the more genuine open source contributors we have, the more, the more robust the protocol becomes, right? To your point, Jim, the underlying protocol itself is a marketplace, but it doesn't have to be used that way, right? It can be used in any way that the community wants, right? And so for something like a Boink project, it would be, the Boink project would be a client and it sends out jobs with a cost of zero, right? So, and then all that the protocol is used for is to make a decentralized record of the inputs and outputs, which enables like a ton more use cases and much more fine-grained rewards and things like that.
Look, the benefactor paper is effectively a limited marketplace with an additional set of restrictions on it that the intermediaries or the projects through which the benefactor contracts operate have to be approved by the community, right? So it's, you can view it as a marketplace, but it's a limited marketplace, right? There's a degree of control over it. In other words, the community itself acts as sort of a regulatory body that governs what can and can't be done in the marketplace. So you could view the benefactor contracts as essentially a manifestation of the DAO exerting controls over what types of contracts can actually be produced. Does that make sense? So that's effectively what the benefactor paper is, one version of that. I think that we need, utilizing your protocol, that's what the community needs to actually implement on top of your protocol in some way, shape, or form, right? The community needs to have a vote or a say on what types of compute goes across in the marketplace. Whether or not there's someone that's paying for the compute or not paying for the compute, that's another detail. But what I think community is going to view, want to be very strongly positioned about is, like, a compute work unit has got to be approved by the community, or that type of work unit project, let's put quotes around it, has got to be approved by the community before a contract can be put out on the marketplace on it.
Go ahead. I was going to ask, does that preclude other people from using the protocol as a marketplace? And that's the question, because other people are going to want.
But they won't be able to. They won't be able to trend. It can't be under the Gridcoin moniker, right? I mean, your marketplace is multi
token
currency, right? Or multi token.
Yeah.
I think the issue is you can't put the Gridcoin label on stuff that doesn't follow the Gridcoin standards, meaning that you can't put a Gridcoin label on top of a general compute contract that's basically free for all computing.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Yeah. So like I would say like
your whole marketplace. Your marketplace is like a utility layer, right?
Yes.
What I'm saying is the Gridcoin's gonna have a specific set of rules built on top of that utility layer that enforces a certain set of economics. And those are the rules for Gridcoin, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. That makes sense. And what was I just about to say about that's completely possible. Oh yeah, regarding the moniker. So the best analogy that I could think of would be like we're almost more closer to Uniswap, right? All the coins on Uniswap aren't of, those are all their own currencies with their own like minting schedules and reward structures and so on. And Uniswap is the marketplace, right? We are a compute marketplace where you can use many different tokens, just like on Uniswap. And you can, like one of our long-term, so one of our long-term goals is to facilitate, I mean, this is much longer term, but like, I mean, I guess I'm calling it pluggable mechanism design, but there's another interesting subfield of game theory that's emerged in the last 6-7 years called compositional game theory, which is basically plugging games into other games. So really to enable really highly complex economies that anybody can structure, the building blocks for people to create their own economies, right? And again, like our protocol again is multi-token, and our business model, part of our business model is to incubate projects on top of that, right? And then those projects all would have their own minting schedules, reward structures, et cetera.
So let's not go too deep down this rabbit hole because it's not quite related.
I'm just trying to position, because Jim is right. I mean, I agree with everything he's saying. I'm just trying to position, trying to clarify how I'm seeing this, and I want to see if that's like resonating with like everyone. Does that make sense insofar as I'm actually trying to enable what you're describing as an arbitrary way of designing crypto economic systems centered around compute, eventually more than just compute, but eventually centered around compute. Like these are the building blocks basically.
Yeah, look, I think the Gridcoin community would angle on that levy is number one, can we forge our own identity in your utility layer, number one, with our set of rules? And then how do we interoperate with other tokens that are in the marketplace? And I'm not so sure you really answered that exactly, right?
When you say interoperate, can you specify the question a bit more?
Are we going to allow exchange of GRC with other tokens in the marketplace?
That's something that would be decided on by the community.
Okay. So right. Lots of possibilities there. Because I think that one of the things about Gridcoin that's been troublesome is that we don't have, this is a classic problem with all cryptocurrencies except for the couple, the few that are like really highly liquid, right? Is that the communities are largely isolated. And the exchange points with the ability to move from one token to the other is extremely limited. You know that, right? At the end of the day, the illiquidity or the effective illiquidity of these coins is a huge problem. And it's challenging for you to create closed loop economic systems with coins that are effectively very isolated. Right? It's the classic problem of, why is the dollar used to pay for everything in the United States? Because the dollar has been used historically to pay for everything. I know that sounds circular, but it's the truth, right? It got going and everyone decided to use it. And so that's what people take as their method of legal tender. And that's why it is. And it self-perpetuates that way, right? Conversely, it's very hard to get traction with a new currency in terms of creating closed payment loops around things, right? And so, this is where the gimmicks come in. Coins come up with gimmicks or niches that they can try and generate closed loop economic forms in the desperate attempt to balance their economics. And so this remains a big problem in the ability to transmute from one coin to the other is a big issue. And I think, John, you just posted that multi-currency economy, which is quite interesting, because I think I'm getting at some of those ideas that you've talked about before, right? So
yeah, and so is Levy. So there's two old episodes of the Fireside. I just posted one on multi-currency economies and one on open economic networks. So what Levy was describing with the modular game theory is a multi-currency economy of open economic networks. So you can listen to those if you find those ideas fascinating. The practical, they're a good intro. Levy can tell you much more about like the math behind all this theory. But they're to the practical questions of like will we be able to exchange, translate GRC from one currency, from it as a value set to another currency if we're a token? The answer is yes, much more easily than we can right now. We could put it on Uniswap. That was a good example. We can put it on SushiSwap. It doesn't matter about Lovey's Marketplace is not a player in that question. Yeah. The question about the attestations. That's the vocabulary that's starting to take hold in the space. The idea that Gridcoin puts a stamp of approval on specific compute jobs in this marketplace, that exists outside of Levy's marketplace. There's something called Ethereum Attestation Services, or EAS, where communities or networks or open economic networks, which Gridcoin is one of, can go around and stamp, place their stamp of approval on various things. You know, from saying that, Jim, you are Jim, I can attest to that statement if you make it, and then people can choose to trust me or not, all the way up to us as a network whitelisting a project or a compute job and saying this has passed Gridcoin's whitelisting process, which includes a robust discussion, exploration of the validity of the research, and the verification of the researcher or something like that, whatever that process is. And one of the really cool things that will come from this transition to a token, we're going to have to make the whitelisting process a little more robust, not much more, but a little more, because it's going to get hard coded finally, hopefully. I don't think it has to in order to implement it, but it should to be put into a smart contract. I think a question you're getting at, Jim, that wasn't explicit, so stop me if this is not something you're curious about, but a compute job that's put on the marketplace that is not whitelisted by Gridcoin can still get incentivized by other tokens or by Gridcoin holders. Someone, if I have 10,000 GRC and I see a compute job I want to get done, I can reward that person with GRC that I own. And that's fine. That's free marketplace. What won't happen, let's say that project's not whitelisted, it's trying to hack the NSA. Right? We're never going to whitelist the project that's trying to hack the NSA. I can say that with confidence. What won't happen with that project is it will not be incentivized by the currency emissions of our protocol. So let's say we're just like our magnitude today, our 27,000 minted for projects. Those will not go to this NSA project because they're owned by the protocol that has a whitelisting process. But still, the fact that I, as an owner of GRC, can now use these GRC to incentivize someone else who has never heard of GRC or our network, our value set, the thing that gives our currency value, I can incentivize them with this currency now, and they're now part of this network because they have the currency. They might hold on to it. They might sell it, translate it onto a marketplace to a different currency that they like better, or now they might participate in our network.
Yeah, I think that's right. There's one more aspect to this that I think we have to talk about. That's from the point of view of the node that's actually doing the compute work, mm-hmm. right? So nodes that are doing compute work should have the right to reject compute jobs that do not conform to the rules that they want to impose, meaning that you shouldn't have to accept a compute job. Maybe I'm posing this the wrong way, Levy. You'll have to correct me if I'm posing this the wrong way. I'm trying to get across the idea that people should have the ability to accept work only that they're comfortable with. And if that work is, I'm only going to work that's from whitelisted projects, then that needs to, we need to make sure that happens, right?
So this is the really cool thing about attestations. So this is also related to the Gridcoin Journal that I made a whole proposal and poll about in the past. Yeah. That can be implemented much more easily if we're a token versus a cryptocurrency. But what we would do in that position as a compute provider is say, I only want to provide compute to jobs that have been attested to by the Gridcoin community. And jobs that have been attested to by the Gridcoin community will have gone through this robust whitelisting process. I can also say, I can be more complex than that. I can say, I only want to do compute jobs that are attested by the Gridcoin community, the NSF Foundation, let's imagine we're 50 years later and they're now in crypto, and the National Museum of art. and MoMA. MoMA's now in science. And that means it limits the amount of computer jobs I'll do, but I'm being very specific. I'm being very picky. I could also be doing it manually and having to review each one. Levy, I imagine, I'm assuming these are features that are going to be available in your platform.
Yeah, that's, in fact, it's pretty trivial to implement that. In fact, right now we have an allow list, a local allow list, for now, as of right now, it's particular modules. So like run this Stable Diffusion job or run this LLM or, you know, et cetera. So it's like just like a GitHub repo. It's like a so we have an allow list, but like that allow list can be like trivially extended to do what you're describing.
Yeah. So a lot of these things are great questions and are truly non-issues, just because of some of this really cool tech that has been developed over the past 10 years. Back when we were originally speaking about these things, they were impossible. But brilliant people have built brilliant things. So now they're very possible. And it just kind of sucks that we have to transition to a token. We might in the future be able, there's these things called sidechains, which are not as robust as tokens right now, but we might be able to redeploy as our own blockchain as a sidechain on the layer one, which would give us a little more freedom in terms of block rewards and consensus mechanisms and that sort of thing. But those are still very difficult to do right now.
Yeah. When you say side, I mean, it sounds like you're like, I feel like the term sidechain got like transformed into like L2 basically. But like you mean like opt, like what's it? Is like, would optimism superchain, did this be what you're
saying? I don't know what they are called anymore, I suppose, but it's okay, not relevant.
So those, I would say, if I understand what you're saying correctly, like those exist. Like optimism superchain is a really good.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm saying. They do exist, but they will not provide the features that we want. Building Gridcoin into a sidechain would be a monumental undertaking. It's not easy to do right now.
I'm saying
let's not talk about sidechains. I'm sorry I brought it up. It would be much easier to build it into a token.
So it depends exactly on what you're envisioning, but like I think at least some of what you're describing is possible with things like Optimism Superchain or some of the other like modular roll-up solutions. We could also just fork Ethereum and use that, or just use Geth, which is what our network is currently based on. But then we have to have people actually prepared to maintain Ethereum nodes, and yeah, that's a whole thing. I'm not actually suggesting that seriously, but it is possible.
I think that's a hard lift, to be honest.
I agree. Yeah, it was nothing.
What I don't think we want to do, Levy, is if we're going to give up on our own coin, then we need to pick an existing layer one that basically has a really good presence in the marketplace already. Because I don't want to exchange one set of problems and then have to set up a whole nother network from scratch. Are you following me? I think that's just not a good idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. And keep in mind that our protocol is written in Solidity, and so it can be deployed to any EVM compatible chain.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So you might as well just to deploy it to Ethereum, right?
I personally would not deploy it to the L1 Ethereum, that just because it's slow and expensive, but like it would be up to a community vote. Like maybe they don't want to deploy Ethereum at all. Maybe they want to deploy to Celo or, you know, some other like EVM.
I think we need to spend some more time talking about that. And I know that's a bigger issue than even Gridcoin, because you're really talking about a protocol that's going to interoperate among multiple coin tokens, right? But I think that it is it's a pretty important choice, right? Because once you go down that road, you it's not like you can just port all this over to a different L1 once you've sort of made that choice. So we're gonna have to choose wisely.
My guess is gonna be an Ethereum L2. So it's gonna be Optimism or something. I would do it on Optimism.
Go ahead. I was gonna say if people wanted to do it on an L2, I would say Optimism makes sense because they have a very retroactive public goods funding platform and their super chain thing. Like, if for those of you who have heard of Coinbase, like Base Chain, where a lot of activity is happening. Base chain is based on optimism. So like there are many, many chains in the Superchain ecosystem, Optimism Superchain ecosystem. It is relatively easy to deploy on there, and they have a very good attractive public goods funding thing, of which Gridcoin has done quite a bit. And so if the community could actually potentially get like attractive public goods funding from there. I will also
this is important enough that you might want to detail out this a little bit more, yeah. Right? In terms of like the options out there for us. And you know, I know it's a bigger issue than even Gridcoin, given from your perspective. But I think, you know, this community can provide you a lot of valuable input as to like what choice to make. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way I see it is that the community would be the one choosing which one to deploy to, right?
Well,
I
mean, yeah, yes.
Let me clarify a technical point just for a second, which is that the marketplace can, and it was originally intended to live on multiple chains. Now that doesn't mean that like the token would necessarily have to live on multiple chains. That's a bit more of a lift. It is possible though. I mean, like USDC lives on many, many chains. The idea is that anybody can come along and deploy to any chain and use any token. So it's supposed to be just like a total public good in that sense. And so like the choices that Gridcoin makes might be different than the choices that some other people who come along make. Like, just for example, like because this protocol was built at Protocol Labs, some people might want to use FVM, like Filecoin Virtual Machine, and IPC, which is their scaling solution called Interplanetary Consensus. Some people want to do that. Some people might want to deploy to Celo. Some people might want to deploy to...
So you're going
to
confuse a lot of people if you keep going.
Yeah. And I'm saying there's a lot of different places that this protocol can be deployed. Is my point.
Well, yes, but also once you start talking about a cross chain, and I'm talking about cross L2 or L1 marketplace, that also raises the specter of trust. And like, how do you coordinate all that across chains? Because that starts to raise stuff in people's minds about their experience with bridges, right? And how dangerous those things.
Gridcoin would not be coordinated across chains. Levy is talking about his platform.
We choose
one. So it's really important that we stay focused on the Gridcoin aspect. I think people understand your platform now, Levy. Yeah. And so the question we have to answer is, what are the risks, challenges, and let's call them benefits of porting, and then let's solve those.
Yeah.
So one of them is, which chain do we port over to? And that is a very in-depth question that probably won't matter in the long run. If you go back to the multi-currency economy episode, you're going to hear me talking about being able to move between currencies seamlessly, et cetera, et cetera. It's just it's just an expression of a value set. Because the technology will get to the point where it doesn't matter where you're going. We're getting there. We're breaching through that wormhole. But we still need to choose one. So I think, Jim, to your point, it would make sense to I can never remember what the slash is here. Risk benefit analysis for several of the chains, and then we just choose one. Optimism is very safe. FVM is very DeSci or science aligned because they do data storage. So we can do that sort of thing. What are other things that come to mind with regard to this endeavor of porting Gridcoin's economics and value system into a token?
Can you ask that again?
What are other problems, other questions that come up when we are thinking about this endeavor of making Gridcoin a token? So, for example, we've got all of these questions. Excuse me, paste in the chat.
So yeah, to be clear, a lot of these, and yeah, but it's good to say on the topic. I just want to hammer home that a lot of these are very Gridcoin specific questions. And like, I just want to reiterate that the platform is supposed to be neutral to all of these and enable all of it, but not enforce it on anybody else, basically. Yeah.
Yeah,
hammered homes.
The trouble with all this levy is that you're coming at this from a certain perspective, but Gridcoin's view on this is we're voting with our feet on our own chain, and we're transitioning to a brave new world on top of your platform or on another L1, L2, right? That's a Gridcoin. That's the choice the community has to make, right? And so it's more than just talking about your utility layer platform, right? That's the rub with this, right? And so there are very specific Gridcoin issues that have to be, that the community has to feel like have been addressed responsibly and appropriately for the community to agree to do this.
Right.
And yeah, I'll add to that our choices, our decisions that Gridcoin makes, we don't need to use Levy's platform at all. There are other compute marketplaces being developed. Levy's happens to be pretty neat. But there are two separate things. Phase one is determine how Gridcoin transitions to a token, of which there are many benefits to doing so. Remember, just like a couple months before this came up, we were talking about how can we bridge GRC into the token world so we can start taking advantage of all the stuff that's going on there. This gets rid of bridging. We don't need to do any of that. Just move our economics into a token. And phase two is how do we integrate with Levy's platform? And we should modify that phase to how do we integrate with Levy's platform or a compute marketplace over there? We don't need a compute marketplace to start rewarding people for Boink. We can still record magnitude, and we can still distribute generated tokens from the protocol to people who contribute computation cycles to whitelisted Boink projects. That's still something we can do from day one. But that marketplace, whether it's Levy's or some other marketplace, which we should participate in as many marketplaces as we can, just as a fundamental thought. But that marketplace lets us do the benefactor contract, lets us give Gridcoin a utility around staking behind Boink projects to boost magnitude, that sort of thing. But everything else we can do day one just as a token.
Well, that's right. I mean, effectively, I'll restate what you're saying a slightly different way from a development perspective. Essentially, what we're saying is we're going to reimagine or redo Gridcoin as a set of smart contracts. They're EVM compatible, and they can basically run anywhere that supports an EVM. That's the bottom line. That's the way it works.
Yep.
Right. And one particular instantiation of an EVM environment would be Levy's environment he's talking about, but it's not limited to that. Right. That might be the most practical way forward and probably the most flexible way forward, but that's a separate discussion in a way, which I think is what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Yep.
The real choice we're talking about here from a Gridcoin perspective is to re-implement the Gridcoin logic layer, which exists right now on top of a proof of stake, you know, a rather elderly proof of stake layer, redoing it as a smart contract on top, EVM compatible smart contract, which can then be run on anything that is EVM compatible at the end of the day, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yes. And there's another question that's come up in this. We talked about it a little bit last week in that. So part of this porting over is transitioning the GRC cryptographic hash on our blockchain to a GRC token, actually. So there's going to be an airdrop or something like that, so that if you have GRC and if you have Magnitude right now, you are one of the originating people in this new network on a token. But on top of that, I guess this is an and, on top of that, we can generate more tokens. We can have a token generation event outside of the economic layer that's just used to fundraise, essentially, to widen the network, to get people currently outside of Gridcoin's blockchain network excited to participate in Gridcoin. Let them see it, because these token generation events, these token sales essentially can raise money, can raise awareness, etc. They can also not do either of those things. They come with their own risks, and well, the risks aren't great. The risk is no one buys it, no one gets excited. But the benefit is we get money, we put it into a treasury, and we can use it to fund development of the protocol moving forward. And we'll be able to use it more than we're able to use the current foundation, largely because we'll be able to translate GRC will be on an exchange, will be on every deck, will be on Uniswap, for example. And there was another point to well, and people will be able to contribute to the code base because it's not C++. So we'll have a developer base that can help us build stuff. They'll be aware of the token because we do a token generation event if we decide to do that.
Yeah, and we'll be by the way, this exchange, this the exchange and the liquidity aspect, this and the development aspect can't be overstated. I mean, John, I I've got funds. I could actually write a check to put Gridcoin on one of these major exchanges. I could do it myself, right? The problem with that is we do that. Gridcoin wouldn't probably remain listed for very long because we don't have enough interest or liquidity to actually deal with the money making aspect of the current exchange environment. You know exactly what I'm getting at, right?
Yep.
So we have no business trying to get on a major exchange because we wouldn't stay on there very long, and the money that would be used to make that happen would be wasted at the end of the day, right?
Also, this is why decentralized exchanges exist, right?
Well, that's my point. And so, you know, I'm trying to address, we oftentimes see people from the community saying, well, why aren't we on Binance, or why aren't we on Coinbase, or why aren't we on this or on that? Well, the answer is, in fact, most of those are pay a lot of money to play, and if you don't meet certain liquidity environments, you're probably not going to be around for very long, right? And we don't, right?
Oh, don't we? We're not even close.
Exactly. And we're not going to do the things that would be necessary to generate that kind of interest, because that's what the shitcoins do, right? The pump and dumps. They come up with these crazy schemes to get people interested and get people interested in doing speculative buying and all that stuff. And that's exactly what we do not want to do, right? So the game that you have to play to get on the major exchanges is a game that we don't want to play. So we can't do that. We have to chart another way forward. I think everyone agrees with me on that.
Yeah, so switch. What you're saying is switching to a token lets us have the freedom to stay ourselves as a network, as our values of not shitifying ourselves, but still get onto a deck, get onto an exchange, so and let people provide.
The chat has said that we become an ERC-20, and it means in shitification of the coin. My argument is, no, it's exactly the opposite. It's the opposite of what that person is saying. What is actually going on is the way the world has turned on us, remaining our own coin means that to get traction on a major exchange, we would actually have to enshittify ourselves. We don't want to do that. So,
I'm loving the use of enshittify.
Well, it's
true. It is true.
It's a terrible word, right? But, you know.
It's very fun to say. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is. Well,
I cut you off on a very poignant and true statement.
You know what I'm getting at, right? It's almost like the polarity is reversed. If we were to, the things we would have to do to get traction on a major exchange with Gridcoin's own coin would be to, like, give in to, would be to encheapen ourselves. We would have to do some shill to, like, generate interest and generate speculative investment to generate activity on the exchange just to stay around. We're not going to do that. And so really that avenue or that path is foreclosed for us, right? Which points us in the direction of what we're talking about on this far side. We need the ability to get on in a distributed environment like Levy was talking about, and allows us to sort of chart the path we want to chart. Levy, I don't know if you have any more comments on this, but
no, not anything that was just said.
So we've got like 10 minutes left, because I do want to go have some dinner, enjoy the evening.
I don't know if there's much else we need to cover on this one.
So here's what I'm thinking. We can rapidly go through the questions that Weber's posted and answer them very quickly, because a lot of these are fairly straightforward questions. The ones that aren't, we won't address right now. And then I think maybe write bigger, higher level questions that we still need to address. For example, I'll write one in the chat right now. Do we in all these questions, is a community, do we want to have a token generation event, in addition to the airdrop? If so, how? How does that work? All right. So, do we want to broaden the network as we go in? And broadening the network also means, not remembering words right now. We're essentially inflating the coin because we're going to be producing more coins when we do the airdrop. But it's tricky because we could airdrop like one GRC token for every 10 GRC on the blockchain. And so that reduces the amount in circulation, but we're also going to print more of them and that broadens.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of finesse.
But I don't know if we can answer the question on this. I think we've got to do
a lot. Absolutely not. No, so that's a longer and another question.
We have to talk about what we're doing with the whales, and then that gets you into identifying the whales, which is harder than it seems, right? We've talked about the issue of unique identification before,
yep.
Right? There's a lot of different things we have to think about in regards to what's fair and equitable. And the answer in general, in my view, while I don't know specifically what we need to do, I will tell you that whatever we do needs to conform to the general values of the community as a whole, which is that Gridcoin wants to be fair and equitable in the way it operates. So we can't do something that's not in line with that. Now, John, I think you agree with that, right? So we have to, we thought through very carefully.
And I think that's a great example of a big question for another episode. Are there any other big questions that folks have thought of as the three of us here were chatting about this? I wrote down another one. What chain are we going to deploy on? That's a question that's come up.
No, really. I mean, some of these were kind of answered already. Like, you know, this would obviously require a new wallet.
So let's run through from top to these other questions. How will development be funded? That's a larger question. Let's not get into that right now. What is fundraising goal? That is related to question one. So let's also not get into that now.
Well, let's just comment on question one and two. I think that's a question that's a bigger question, but it's really, at least we have the possibility of funding development, right? Which is what we don't really have now. I think you would agree with that, right? So
yeah. I mean, part of the interesting thing would be the fact that we just have Foundation GRC, and now like we still have Foundation GRC. We have a lot of people with GRC that would love to use it to pay developers for their time contributing to the token, but there's no developers who want to contribute to the token largely because it's C++. So it would be interesting to see just in the beginning if we produce this on a chain that's an easier language, Go or Solidify. Will we need a generation event? Will we need to fundraise with some sort of ICO? That's an interesting question.
I'm not sure. And quite frankly, we may have enough just from like mirroring over the foundation fund.
Yeah.
You know, it could be at a 1-to-1 ratio or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, John. I don't know. We have to think through that. We may not need a generation event. I don't know.
Yeah, there are other benefits to it, but yeah, definitely to talk about. So what happens to current GRC and how does that transfer to new token? So I can say this with relative confidence, unless someone else has a different idea that would then elicit a conversation and discussion about which we should do. But the basic way to do this would be an airdrop. So if you hold GRC provable on the blockchain, which of course it is because it's a cryptocurrency, then you can claim it on the token contract. And there are ways to do that. We can get into the intricacies on another call. But the current GRC would continue to exist. Well, there's a couple ways we could. For example, when we transitioned from proof of work to proof of stake, the proof of work coins were burned. You sent them to a burning address that then generated them and gave them to you on your new address. I think that was a long time ago. So we could do something like that, where you actually burn the GRC on the blockchain. And by doing that, you have proven that you own them. That's like a way to prove they're yours. And you can, when you burn them, send like a message in the transaction that is your GRC token address. And so the new GRC on the on the smart contract are sent to that token address that's associated with the BERG, whatever ratio we choose to implement. I hope that makes sense. There's some more implementation details we can go in the future conversation about those. Our current devs writing, monitoring, bounties. I don't quite understand that one.
I'm not sure I do either. Or maybe he's referring to how the future development is going to be done, you know, and what the devs are, what the current devs' involvement in that's going to be.
Okay. When what's the timeline? I think 6 months is totally doable. It depends on how quickly we can answer these questions, these very high level questions. What token? What layer do we? Or what chain do we want to go on? What are we going to do? Like, how are we going to handle token distribution? And those are really the two big questions. When does the marketplace itself go live? Independent of Gridcoin. This is a question for Levy.
So that is a good question. There's of course testnet versus mainnet. You can go on our testnet right now and start paying for jobs from tokens that we from our faucet. As soon as it's ready and no sooner. I don't know exactly. It's because I don't want to get into the details, it'd be too many, but there's work to be done. And we have like still a relatively small team and we're doing a lot of different things at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there. Yeah. I'm sure we'll be getting updates as we continue these conversations. Because if we do a 6 month timeline, it's like a month, maybe 2 months of discussions where we'll actually assess what the development requirements are to pour over. And at that point, the 6 months might move based on what we've determined are necessary to develop this thing. How does current blockchain play into the new proposal? Sort of already answered that. In last episode, I'll restate it now very simply. There's two possible ways that this can go down that I think we're aware of. One is we port the economics and the values of Gridcoin over to this token and we let the blockchain die. We either the contracts run completely independent from the blockchain. Maybe the blockchain won't die. I'm assuming it will, just because the economic activity will probably be on the token and not on the blockchain. But the blockchain
if we choose the burning route to transition over, then we're killing it by definition, right?
Oh, yep, that's true.
But if we don't, we could do a mirroring route instead, in which case it may not die, but then there's a set of choices we have to make on how the traditional chain will continue to be utilized. And I'm not sure, John, we have a strong point of view on that yet.
Yeah. So actually, there are three routes. Thanks, Jim. There's three routes. One is if we do the burning to transition the currency over, then yes, that kills the blockchain because you're destroying the currency on the blockchain. The second route is a mirroring where we mirror the blockchain over the contract and we just let both run, but they run independently from one another. So the currency on the blockchain still exists and the token still exists and they never speak to each other after we do the airdrop. And then the third route is there's some sort of dependency in the contract. The contract has some sort of dependency on the blockchain. That's a very interesting idea. It might be very difficult to do. It might be very easy to do. That's something we'd have to figure out. But for example, we could store magnitude in super blocks on the blockchain and use an oracle to, I don't know, every once in a while, port that data into the contract, at which point the contract would use that data to do some currency generation or maybe something really cool that we haven't thought of because we haven't fully thought through this concept. So there's three pathways there.
Yep, I think
blockchain dies, they run in parallel, they are interconnected. Those are the three pathways.
That's right.
New wallets. So yes, depending. MetaMask will be probably the wallet of choice.
It's not a new wallet in the sense that if we go to an ERC-20 that's EVM compatible, then there are a number of wallets that actually work, right? At least for basic transactional type of stuff.
It will be so sad because we spent so much time. You guys spent so much time making the wallet so pretty. Like, we have one of the best native wallets out there. So nice.
Well, and except with my screw up with the last release, the one mistake I made, it's been extraordinarily stable too, right? But yeah. Think about this. The amount of effort that it took to get it there was ungodly.
There's another sort of value add. We don't need to think about wallets anymore. We purely focus on the protocol. There's no necessarily UI to think about.
Every time we do stuff, John, in the wallet, we have to do a lot of regression testing and a lot of worry about did we break something, right? Because at the end of the day, there, you know, the layers are not as clearly separated in, even with the grid coin recoding that we did, there's still pressure points between the layer two work that we've done on Gridcoin and the underlying protocol, you know, basic protocol, right? And that's always a concern, right? Every time we go do a mandatory, we have to really, really be very careful about how we do that so we don't break stuff, right? And that's not to say that you can't write smart contracts bad too. That's a whole other discussion. But, you know, you've got a degree of layering that's much more crisp. With a lot more lift to it than we have, right?
Well, last question, last series of questions. How do transactions work on the marketplace?
I think we spent like 3/4 of the spare side talking about that, actually.
Yeah. Our projects whitelisted, spoke about that. As a community, are we vetting this work? Spoke about that. Or is it an independent decision made by a country? We spoke about that too. I'll just stress this again. We can whitelist stuff for how the currency generated by our protocol is distributed, but we have no, nor should we have any right to say how someone uses their currency. They can pay for whatever compute job they want once they have the GRC. How the protocol operates, that's completely up to us. And I think we're going to port over exactly what we have right now to start.
Yep. All right, we're 5 over. This is a good session. So
this was. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, everybody.